Okay, here we are moving along in our prayers. Let's do a little recap. We've gotten up, said our prayers, thanking God for giving us another chance, for believing in us. We wake up happy. We wake up with purpose. We moved on, understanding the beginning of all wisdom. And last time we spoke about the three songs, and the first of the poems, songs, is about the shul. We spoke about what a Jewish shul is, what a Jewish home is, and that was the song. The next one is a very important song. It's said in the beginning of prayers. It actually appears other times during our lives, and we're going to explain why. It's called Adon Olam. What is it about? It actually happens to be musically a very easy song to put almost any modern tune to. So you can take your favorite tune and try to put the words of Adon Olam to it, and a lot of people have done that. But that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the words and the context of the words of Adon Olam. So to be honest, I've been trying to push off this topic for a while since we started the series, but it seems as I have no choice. It seems as if the orders of the sitter of the prayer book have placed it here, and this is the place that we need to discuss this most important item. And that is, well, if prayer means, by its most simple, basic definition, to talk to Hashem, to talk to God, we have to define, well, we know what talking is, but we do have to define what God is, what Hashem is. Okay? There is a rabbi who came into a class one day and told his students, he said, "I have a confession. I am an atheist." Gasp. Everybody was taken aback. And he explained himself. He said, "That God that you all believe in, when you say the word God, I don't believe in either. The God that you think of when you say the word God, I don't believe in that God. So I'm an atheist." And what he meant was, a lot of people have this immature imagery of some big angry guy in the sky throwing down lightning bolts. Maybe some people view it as this spiritual candy machine where you put in the money and out comes the goods, out comes the money, whatever else you need, the blessing that you need in life. That is a very immature and actually wrong view of it. Now I'm gonna try, I keep getting confused, but I'm gonna try to use the word Hashem instead of God, because God has so much history and weight in it for a lot of us, and we have an idea of already preconceived. That's why we like to use the word Hashem. And we're going to try to, before we get into the words of the prayer, of the song, we'll try to explain it a little bit. Let me give this a go. Okay, there's a lot of ways, and I don't know if we're going to deal with all the aspects of it, but let's see if we can do it like this. I think a lot of people go through this, deep thinkers, okay, people who think about life and about religion will mature in their thinking when they'll originally, again, have this picture, even if it's not an angry guy or some sort of guy up there. And at a certain point, they say, okay, it's a little bit ridiculous. There's no guy up there. Maybe God is more like a force. We have different forces in the world, in nature, and there's this force that's kind of the greatest force of them all that's called God. That's what it is, and you'll have different cultures and religions referring to it as different things. The universe, sometimes they'll say, nature. That's what it is. Judaism says that that's wrong also. Okay, it's actually just as wrong and just as dangerous as thinking of him as a man. Because the same way God is not a man, because God created Hashem. See, I caught myself. Hashem created all men. Hashem can't be a force because Hashem created all forces. Just like defining him as a man is limiting him, defining him as a force is also limiting him. He created all forces and the concept of a force. And so we're a little bit at a loss of how to define him. We almost, you know, they say about a boy, a child who's born, sadly, without the ability to see, who's never seen anything in their life, cannot explain to them what a color is, can't tell them what red is. We only can understand things in the context of other things. Our brain only has the capacity to process things in terms of things that we've seen. So that's why, you know, even when we describe aliens, we try to understand, I know I'm getting a little off topic, but things that are outside of our world, we always just, okay, they don't look like humans, but they have to look kind of like humans. So there's a human, but instead of two eyes, it has three eyes. Instead of two arms, it has six arms. It has a tail. You're kind of putting different things that you know and putting them together, because that's really the only tools that we have. We don't. It's very hard for us to conceptualize things that are out of our reality of things that we've been exposed to. But we actually kind of do have the ability. Even actually, if a person thinks about infinity, okay? We don't really have things that are infinite. When you start thinking about infinite number of paper clips, your mind ends up going to just a lot of paper clips. But mathematically and conceptually, I don't know if I've said before, I have a background in math, so that's where my mind goes sometimes. Infinite is not like one more than a lot. It's a totally different concept. It's so much more. It's so beyond. It's never ending, the amount of paper. But we can't imagine that, so we just kind of think like, oh, a lot. But there's really, it doesn't add up. It's not an appropriate. And yet we can discuss infinite. Certainly, those of us who studied calculus and other parts of mathematics, it's all based on understandings of infinite. So we can describe and work with something that we don't totally understand. And that is, I would say, almost an introduction to talk about Hashem. There's a part we cannot fully grasp because we only have the tools to deal with the reality that we have in front of us. And there, he is beyond that. And so we can't totally understand it, and yet we can discuss about it. We can use the tools that we do have and try to understand him. And how are we going to do that? Well, really, like I said, it's going to be very difficult because it's not a man, not a force. We're ultimately going to come to the traditions of how our forefathers have understood him and really how he himself wants to be understood. And actually, it's interesting how it comes back to closer to what you thought as a child. Not that he's a man, but if we look in the prayers and in the Torah, he's understood as almost as a being. We talk to him. And so while he certainly isn't anything like that, that is the terms that we're going to use to describe him. One of the most important descriptions of Hashem is the way the Rambam describes him. It's really other philosophers, but which is called the first cause. Hashem is known as the first cause. Hashem, the first cause is, there's a cause and effect in the world, except Hashem. Hashem was not caused by anything. He caused everything. Everything else we have in the world is because he brought it into existence. But he is not because something, someone, or brought him into existence, but he just always was. And that's really where we get hard to wrap our brain around, because everything in our world wasn't always, always came into existence. But that is the term we're going to use, and that is what the Rambam uses, and that's what this author of Adon Olam is going to use. Okay, and so let's jump into the paragraph itself. Now that we discussed around it, of course it's going to be important because we're going to say Hashem's name many, many times, and of course the prayers are to Hashem. So this is like an introduction to all the prayers. This is why it goes here. Right after we spoke about going to shul, I'm going to discuss who Hashem is. And this is why it's also other times. You'll see it at the end of davening. Sometimes people sing it at the end of davening on holidays or high holidays, because it's all about who is Hashem. So that, if I would say in a word, what is the theme of Adon Olam, is who, what is Hashem. So let's translate. If you're in the book that I've been giving out, we're on page 13, 12 in the Hebrew, 13 in the English. Adon Olam Asher Malach, the master of the world that has ruled, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before anything else. And this is an important part. Hashem, we actually often say this in our prayers. Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. Which is interesting. It's not a pasuk. Okay, when we get to that, we'll see that. But it's actually a combination of three different psukim where it talks about Hashem is the king, Hashem was the king, and Hashem will be the king. So that's what it's going to talk about. Hashem always was. He was the first cause. He always will be, even when everything else dies and everything else is gone, he will be there. And he is there now. And not just is there, but is the king of everything, controls everything, is that first cause. So that first thing, Hashem, Adon Olam, the master of the world, Hashem Malach, that has been the king. B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra, before there was anything that was created, before anything, he was there and he was king. L'eis Naso B'chafza Kol, at the time when everything was done with his desire. Nasa, it was done bechefza with his desire. Kol, everything. Azai melech shemonekra. Then his melech, his name was melech shemonekra. His name was called the king. Vacharei, so that was the pre, before time, before any creation, he was there. Vacharei kechlos hakol, and after everything finishes to be, okay, everything in this world will end one day. Everything is slowly, what do they call it? Entropy? I think that's the word, where things slowly go bad. Fruits, anything that, but everything is slowly getting, people, that the world is getting bad and getting destroyed. So when everything is gone, levado yimloch nara, he himself will be the king of all. V'hu haya, he was. V'hu hoveh, he is. V'hu yiyeh, he will be. B'sifara, with his splendor. Of course, it rhymes each line, right? One verse rhymes with the next. Or they all have the same kind of sifara, nora, nikra, nivra. V'hu echad v'ein shni, he is one and no second. Of course, that's one of the basics of what we believe. We say in the Shema, Hashem echad, Hashem is one. There is no other. Laham shilo l'hachbira, to compare to him, to connect to him. There is no second to say, oh, there's someone like him or anything like that. Mashal is like an example, lachbira, to connect him. Beli reishis, beli sachlis, without beginning, without conclusion. Veloha oz bahamisra, to him is the strength and power. Okay, he has everything. There is no one compared to him, and he was always and always will be. Now here is where it takes it more importantly. What's interesting, I once heard a interview with an atheist. Not just a, they were trying to get like the atheist. Of course, I'm not going to say his name. not appropriate for this podcast, but he was claimed as, I wanted to speak to an atheist, and this was the atheist. Of course, he's really a Jewish guy. Naturally, who do you imagine? Who else would be the atheist? Is going to be a Jewish guy, because because that's, Jews will either be for or against, but you'll never find one that's indifferent Okay, we have too much skin in the game, too care too much about it, to just be indifferent about the whole situation. Love him or hate him. So that was, and it was interesting when they asked him. I thought he was going to say, "Oh, I just don't. There's just nothing out there." But he didn't say that. He understood that there was something out there. There is a God who created the world, the sustainer of the world. But I should take that back. Not sustainer, the creator of the world. He understood that creation was through God, but he couldn't understand why that God would care about me. If he, there is a God, and he created all, and he said there is a God, created all the universe and atoms and the brilliance of science and everything that's in it. You see God. He said, yeah, but why does he care if I turn a light on Shabbos? Why does he care if I wear tzitzis? Why does he even care if I praise him and pray to him? It doesn't make any sense. He certainly won't answer my prayers, but he doesn't even care about anything I did or do. That's what this atheist claimed. And honestly, it's a good question. But the Jewish response is he does. Maybe the Jewish response is, why would he make any of it if he didn't care about it? Well, what's the point? What's the point in all this? But that's not really the argument. The Jewish answer is that yes, but he came to Avram and to Moshe and to all the Jewish people and told us that actually he does have a plan for us. He has certain desires for us, not for what he needs, but for what we need. Again, enough theology, but Vuhu Keli, that's what it says really, Eli, my God, he is my God, B'chai Goali, and my Redeemer. He's living Redeemer. He's intimately involved in my nation, but in myself. Vitzur chevli be'es tzara. He is my rock in my time of pain. Okay, Vitzur chevli be'es tzara. When I'm in pain, he hears me and he helps me. Uhu nisi umanosli. He is my banner. Okay, meaning he shows up for me. Umanosli, it's my place where I can run to. Minas kosi biyom ekra. The portion in my cup on the day that I call. Okay, he is there for me, basically. Hashem, he's not just the first one that ever was. He's not just the last one that ever will be. He's not just the that everything comes about through his will and he is the king of all kings, but he actually is there for me as an individual and as a nation. And now the paragraph finishes off. This God, in his hand I give my spirit when I go to sleep and I wake up. This is why it's said in the morning. Another reason, yeah, it's also actually said those who say, we'll learn about one day a prayer that people say on their bed at the bedtime. We also say Adon Olam because that's what you're saying. I'm giving him my soul. We mentioned that already in the Moda Ani, and we're going to learn more about it, that we view every morning as Hashem returning our soul to us to give us another chance. Bimruchi Gibiasi Hashem li velo ira. With my ruchi, with my spirit, gviyasi, and my body, so it's not just my soul, I give him my soul, but with my spirit and my body, all the different parts of me and my soul, Hashem li, God is with me, velo ira, I will not be afraid. Wow. Okay, people have said that thousands of times. I hope there's a little bit of insight. We will be discussing more about who Hashem is in the future. We have to. Always happy to hear feedbacks if anyone has any questions, if some part wasn't clear. But this is a little bit of a paragraph, an introduction, as we pray to Hashem, who Hashem is. The Adon Olam, that's what it's called, the master of the world, and how he's not just the master of the world, but the master of me, and not just the master, but my father, someone who is very connected to me, very much cares about me, and that is who I give my soul to, and he is in charge of my body, Hashem li, and therefore lo ira, beautiful words, I will not be afraid. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.